Our Bible reading today is Mark 2, verses 23 to chapter 3, verse 6, and it will be read by Peter and Linda Hardy. Over to you, Peter and Linda, for our reading.
Good morning, everyone. Today's reading is Mark 2, verses 23 to Mark 3, verses 6. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the cornfields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some ears of corn. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need in the days of Abiathar, the high priest? He entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for the priest to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath.'"
Jesus heals on the Sabbath. Another time Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and, deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and the hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Linda and Peter, very much. We pray together. Father, open your word to us, that as we look at it, we will see you in all your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week we looked at how Jesus began to see himself being controversial to those around about him. And controversy is what makes up a lot of the news headlines, isn't it? We have the controversy of are the right people getting the vaccines? There's the controversy about a new American senator and her views on various issues, and should she be allowed to be on House committees and things. There is controversy, and rightly so, about how easily racism gets onto social media. And we began to see that Jesus was beginning to be controversial. And as we saw that, and we're going to see more of it today, as we saw that, we saw this amazing truth that he made the point that he wasn't going to neatly fit into their way of seeing things, that they had to be willing to let God change their ways of thinking. And I love that honesty of Jesus, that as he comes to the people in the first century, he doesn't say, "Oh, you can just tack me on, it'll be fine, it won't be too challenging." He absolutely reminds them that it's going to be challenging. And we know that in ourselves, don't we? In one of our home groups this week, we were talking about how it's lovely to hear the word of God, but actually applying it, putting it into practice, that's more challenging. And as Jesus comes, and we're going to see him again challenge those around about him, as he comes, he absolutely wants us to recognize that if we understand who he is and if we follow him, we will find him challenging so that we change our way of thinking and acting. But he becomes so controversial that at the end of our reading, we read this: "Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus." The Pharisees, the religiously pious people of the day, plot to kill Jesus with who? The Herodians, the secular, compromised, unholy political people of the day. It's an extraordinary combination of people that are lined up against Jesus. But we have to realize that they were struggling with the challenges that he brought to them. So firstly, we see the challenge, the way Jesus challenges the way they view the Sabbath, the way Jesus challenges the way they view the Sabbath. Now, in most of the world, religions, there are special places. So Islam has Mecca, Hinduism has the Ganges, Shintoism has Japan, Judaism had Jerusalem and the temple. But actually, for the Jews, although that the place was important, the day, the Sabbath day, really, really mattered. The one day in seven when they rested, when they worshipped God, they set it aside for those two reasons, to rest and to worship. And they knew it was God's good gift to them. They were not to work, but to remember God. Not to work, but to remember their need for him. Not to work, but to remember their need for rest and fun and relaxation. God has designed us like that, that we need times of this, a day of rest. So important was the Sabbath that keeping it showed you were one of God's people. So when we read this, we see how important the Sabbath was. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the cornfield. And as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some ears of corn. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat, and he also gave some to his companions." Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." So the Pharisees come and accuse the disciples of being lawbreakers. And they associate Jesus with that lawbreaking, verse 24. Why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? Well, their point is you should have stopped them. You're a person of God, or you say you are. Why aren't you stopping that? And the point is, lawbreakers could be punished by death. Now, the Pharisees want to show that Jesus is a lawbreaker, but he shows them the whole purpose of God's law. Jesus recounts what, to be honest, is a fairly obscure Old Testament story. I wonder how many people this morning, as that was read, who went, "Oh, I know that story." Or how many of us went, "What? Don't remember that story in the Old Testament." But what Jesus says is that Scripture does not condemn David's action in eating and sharing bread. The whole point about the law, says Jesus, it's meant to be a blessing, not a burden. That's the point of verse 27. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was God's good gift. It was not and never has been a way of getting into God's good books by doing the right thing. The Sabbath was to help men, women and children to enjoy God, to trust God would rescue, to rest, relax and live life in the best way. That's actually the purpose of the whole purpose of the law. That's what the law is about. The law was given to the people of God to show them how to live as the people of God in the best way. That's why in the giving of the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, it's really important that we know the verse that comes before it. This is how Exodus 20 starts. "I am the Lord your God who rescued you from Egypt. As a rescued people of mine, now live like this because it's the best way for you to live and the best way for you to give glory to me." I get really worried when some Christians seem to believe the line that non-Christians have more fun. They have the best way of living. It's rubbish. Of course, if we make the Christian faith just a list of rules, of do's and don'ts, as the Pharisees had, yeah, it becomes absolutely a burden. We're burdened by the weight of what we have to do. Then we have to be those who believe not that the rules were made for man, but man was made for rules. And God never says that. And Jesus says no way to that. The law was given to show the rescued people of God the best way to live. And that's what Jesus is saying here. No way. God gave the Sabbath for our good, not as a burden. God gave the law for our good, not as a burden. Jesus reminds us that our good Father, our Heavenly Father, the one who loves us, gives us his instructions, his way to living, so that we will flourish. He wants the best for us. So he tells us the best way to live. The Pharisees had made the Sabbath such a burden that actually it wasn't doing what God intended it to do. It wasn't giving rest, relaxation, and a time to engage with God. Now, I know in our world, many people have to work on Sunday, which was traditionally the day of rest. And sometimes, unfortunately, we have to split our day of rest and day of worship. Sometimes we have to sort of mix and match those a bit and not be able to do it as we would quite like to. But the principle of all of us taking a day of rest, a day of worship, is a vital one. Jesus says, though, that that's not to be a burden. It's to release us. That's why we don't make rules about what you could do on your day of rest on a Sunday, say. Yes, we like people to gather for worship. Absolutely. And hopefully soon we'll be able to do that again. But actually, we want the Sabbath to be life-giving because that's what Jesus wants it to be. And how do we know Jesus can tell us that? Well, verse 28 tells us, so the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. He is God himself. And we see again this claim that the Pharisees wouldn't have missed, I don't think, that if he's claiming to be Lord of the Sabbath, he must be claiming to be God. God gave us his law, not as a burden, but as a delight, to help us to enjoy God, to trust him, to rest, relax, and live life in the best way. I wonder if we subtly sometimes fall for the lie of the world. Oh, God's just a killjoy. That's why he told you these things. No, he's not. God tells us these things because he knows it's best for us. Jesus challenges the way they view the Sabbath. Secondly, Jesus challenges the way they view right and wrong. Chapter 3, verse 1. Another time, Jesus went into the synagogue and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around them in anger and, deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out and his hand was completely restored. Now the Pharisees are getting hot under the collar. They know that he's claiming to be God, and so they're looking now for a reason to accuse him. Notice they do not care for the sick man, and notice their unwillingness to answer Jesus' questions. It's extraordinary, isn't it? And we understand why Jesus is angry with them. Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil? Is that a difficult question for you to answer this morning? No, of course it isn't. You would absolutely say to do good. To save life or to kill? Which is it? Well, we know the answer to those. They're obvious. But the leaders, the Pharisees, they remain silent. It's a very unattractive picture. Jesus has to challenge their view of what is right and wrong because they have got it so turned up on their head that they can think that if Jesus heals on the Sabbath, then he's a lawbreaker. At the beginning, we said that Jesus seemed to court controversy sometime, and this is one of the reasons why we believe that. This is not a life and death situation. He could have waited to the day, ended the Sabbath and healed then, couldn't he? He could have healed in private. He often did that. But what does he do with this man? He looked at the man. Jesus said to the man, verse 3, stand up in front of everyone. This was a public choice of Jesus. He is using this opportunity to show he is Lord of the Sabbath. But more, not only that, he shows that he does good, he saves life, he heals the man. And the contrast to the others is stark. They're stubborn, silent, sinful. Now they're amazingly saying they're the ones in the right. That they're right to think that Jesus shouldn't do this. And of course, there's an irony in what they then go and do. Then the Pharisees went out on the Sabbath and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. So when Jesus says, which is lawful on the Sabbath to do good or do evil, to save life or kill, they've decided it's right to kill. What an extraordinary thing. Jesus wants them to recognize that what they are standing for is wrong and what he is doing is right. Jesus challenges them and us to understand that he understands right from wrong, and we have to trust that to be the case. Now, we may not find it so hard in this case. We may think it's obvious. But what about the cases where we find it harder? Perhaps because actually what Jesus says is right is deeply challenging to us. So when Jesus says it's right for God to judge, how do we feel about that? I was listening to the radio in the car, and one of the clergy who are quite often on TV just denied the truth that God would judge. It was staggering. When Jesus says it's right, he's right, or he wants us to turn the other cheek, to be truthful always, to seek first his kingdom, to use our money for his glory, for us not to gossip, for sex to be within marriage only, that he's the only way to heaven. When he says those things, how often is it easy for us to think, couldn't I be right? Just in that case, couldn't I see things rightly, Jesus? You see, Jesus challenges the Pharisees and us that he is the one who knows right from wrong. The question for us this morning is, do we sometimes, like the Pharisees, think we know best? Sometimes have stubborn hearts? Sometimes want to design faith so it fits more comfortably with us? We can't pick and choose, you see, as the Pharisees couldn't. We have to recognise that Jesus is the one who knows what is right, and that we have to accept what he says in every circumstance. that isn't always comfortable. As I said, in this instant, we probably find it fairly easy. Of course it's right to heal the man. But in other places, when God says something in his word that challenges our natural way of thinking, that challenges what the world says, then we have to humbly come and, as we said in our first song, bow before him and accept that what he says is right. We see here that Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath, the one who truly interprets the law rightly, the one who does good and saves lives. So will we, in the weeks ahead, make sure that we are those, as his people, who value who he is. He is God. We rejoice in his good plans for our lives. And we humbly accept that he is the one who knows right from wrong. And so we have to live as he tells us to, even when that's challenging. Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you want the best for us. Thank you that you didn't leave us to work that out on our own. And so, Father, we ask that we would humbly sit at the foot of the cross, willing to accept that you know the best. You are the one who defines what is good. And we must live as those who walk in the ways that you desire. So help us to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.